what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host. For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Did you know that 60% of Americans are overweight? Do you know what that figure is going to be by 2020? Listen, stay tuned in, and I'll tell you after the first break. Today, author and coach Jerry Helms will talk about her book, Trust God and Buy Broccoli. She will discuss how she lost 100 pounds and kept it off. She coached Sean Anderson to write his book, Transformation Road, My Trip to Over 500 Pounds and Back. He will talk about how he lost 275 pounds. That's the size of a whole nother person. So we're sure to be inspired today. So first up, Jerry, welcome.
Hi, Dr. Melanie. How are you?
I am doing well. Just got back from swim aerobics, so I am all energized. So, your book is very inspiring.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's about your personal journey, about being excessively overweight to being now at a healthy weight.
Yes.
Most people had some kind of a crisis that prompts them to change their lifestyle. Did that happen to you?
Well, yes, I think it did. I had in 1983. By the way, that's one thing I want to tell your listeners is it's not only possible to lose the weight you're carrying, but also possible to maintain it. So 93 is when I had my epiphany, and I weighed, when I hit 248, I just stopped weighing myself. So I went up two more dress sizes. I don't know what my top weight was, but in January of 93, I started having heart palpitations and, consulted with a heart specialist who told me that my main problem was I was morbidly obese, and it was terrifying. And he said if I didn't lose 100 pounds and change my lifestyle, I probably wouldn't see my 50th birthday, and I was 43 at the time. And I left there, and I went to one of the popular weight loss clubs, and I prepaid for a whole year. And came home from there, and on the way home, stopped at a frozen yogurt place and binged again. And I just thought, if I was going to die, I might as well die happy. And that was where I was in that mindset until several months later, a friend from my job talked to me and gave me a book to read by Kay Shepherd, which is called Food Addiction, The Body Knows.
Right.
That book was an epiphany for me because it helped me to see that perhaps there were foods that caused me to lose control when I started to eat. And when I eliminated those foods from my diet, things started to change. My obsession about food and the compulsion to constantly be eating virtually went away. Isn't that amazing?
It is. But your epiphany then prompted you to have a mind change before you did the action.
Yes.
So
I stopped dieting.
Uh-huh.
That was my epiphany because What I like to say is that the first three letters of that word diet spell die. And
yeah.
I do believe that diets are doomed to failure because they have a beginning and an end, where changing your lifestyle is changing my lifestyle at that point, where I said, I have got to do something. I've got to break this syndrome, because Dr. Melanie, I went over 200 pounds three times in what I like to refer to as my eating career. I just and those weight swings, they may be even more dangerous for someone rather than just maintaining a weight, you know? So,
right.
Well,
you say that, you know, in today's world, everybody's wanting the quick fix. So you're saying the surgical cure isn't a quick fix. Can you explain that?
No, I don't think it is, because if you change, I've seen a lot of people that have had that surgery that still find a way to eat. Because if you don't make the shift inside of you, just putting a Band-Aid on it by fixing a physical symptom, I don't think it's going to do the trick.
I mean,
it's the mindset that unless they have a surgery that can take that part of your brain out, I don't believe that in and of itself, the lap band or gastric bypass or whatever procedure we're talking about, it might not have a lasting effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people can do something temporarily, but if they don't make that mind shift, they're going to, it's like a rubber band stretching. It only goes so far, and then they'll go back to old behaviors.
Yeah. You know, and something that happened with me, Kay Shepherd recommended no sugar. And I stopped eating processed sugar, you know, the real obvious stuff like cake and candy and stuff like that. And within 4 weeks, I started to get memories of some childhood issues that I really needed some psychological help with then. And sometimes people are eating for emotional reasons that way. And we do need more help than just, you know, the weight loss remedies.
Right. It's a whole body, not just the physical, but mental, emotional, spiritual, financial, social, all those aspects.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the childhood stuff, we don't realize the messages we're giving our kids. You know, you'll be a good boy if you clean up your plate.
Yeah.
All those hungry kids in, you know, in the poverty areas, if you don't eat it, you know, you're causing somebody else to have an effect on them. And so all that guilt tripping contributes to people feeling bad.
You're right.
And then if when they were sad or lonely or hungry and they ate something sugary and it gave them that good feeling initially, then they think, this is what I need to do whenever I feel bad. So I do more, I feel even better.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't work that way, because that sugar wears off and you're going to be down in the dumps and have that blood sugar drop more so than before you put it in your mouth.
Absolutely. You're right on target.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if there aren't any quick fixes, how do you make the mind shift? I know it's great for us to give this information out to the public, but you know, they might want to change, but how do you make that switch in your brain to say, I want to live, I want to do differently?
I don't know. I think there's some grace involved in it, because I'm a certified spiritual coach, and I've always had a spiritual life. And I remember in April of 93, I had reached a point where I was really feeling suicidal. I thought there had to be more to life than getting up every day and having my food revolve, or my life revolve around food. And I one night in my desperation, I started thinking of ways to kill myself. And I remember laying on my couch just sobbing, so full I couldn't even get off the couch, and asking God to help me. And shortly after that is when my friend introduced me to Kay Shepherd's concept. So, you know, maybe there's some grace involved in it, or you hit a bottom, like almost like an alcoholic, that you just know what you're doing. You can't keep doing it anymore. It just stops working. Like,
yeah.
I think for a period of time, food, I mean, I think you get an aha moment from food. And then what happened to me, I know as a child, I was having some you know, trauma in my life where I was stealing candy from my mother's stash, and it made me feel better. And I think I chased that feeling for the next 30 years. Mm-hmm. And never really got it back again. Mm-hmm. But I just kept crying.
Mm-hmm. Well, in my household, food was a luxury. You know, you couldn't get everything you wanted because it just, the family didn't place the priority on food. So mm-hmm. when you got a treat, it was such a big deal that you savored it. But now with me growing a family, I carried some of that still forward that I didn't overstock my pantry. But now my mm-hmm. children do. They're never going to be without food. And so we can react to, you know, the opposite of how we were raised, or do the same. Mm-hmm. We can go to one extreme or the other.
Right.
So I think we need to understand, you know, what was the pattern we grew up with, and that doesn't mean that it's locked in forever. We can change it.
Right. Right.
So.
Yeah, from 93 until 99, I lived by myself, and I had a what I call a clean house. I didn't have anything in my house that I didn't eat. And then I started dating, and you know, my husband, he can eat whatever he wants. He doesn't have any problem with any kind of food. So I had to take care of myself that way too, like create a space for his stuff that isn't mine. It's off limits for me.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just like an alcoholic, if you can handle it, you can have the alcohol in the house, but it's not for you.
Right. Right. You know, we're traveling right now in a 40-foot motorhome, and it's tight quarters. And I have found a one cabinet that is just his snack food that I don't eat. So if I mm-hmm. don't open the cabinet and see it every time, it doesn't talk to me. It doesn't say, "Oh, you can have a bite," or, you know, because some things I'm a person I can't have just one bite. I know
right.
we'll be talking to Sean Anderson a little later, and Sean can have. He doesn't approach his healthy lifestyle in the same manner that I do, but, you know, we both can honor the other's path, for lack
right.
of a better word.
Which is to show that not every person is going to go the same way. It can be
exactly
different. Yeah.
Right.
Well, how about we continue this after a break, and then we'll teach the audience some more things about food and eating.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
How do you make the right decisions in your life when it comes to your health? By education and proven practices. Tune in to Holistic Therapies with Dr. Jeffrey Kiker. Dr. Jeff will speak to the leading experts in natural health care to help you take charge of your health and well-being. It's a look at the best from alternative health and tested clinical methods designed to give you everything you need to live a better, healthier life. Holistic Therapies can be heard every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced Cell Training is a restorative, self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. By the year 2020, 75% of Americans will be overweight, according to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. You don't want to be part of that statistic. So let's hear what Jerry Helms has to say as she talks about her book, Trust God and Buy Broccoli, so we can avoid that health hazard. Mm. So, yes, we don't want to be part of that statistic.
No, we really
don't. We can definitely change that. Yes.
Yeah, we can change it one-on-one, but, you know, I wish there was some way that society could start making some changes, too, because, you know, if you go to at most of the fast food places, although they are offering now healthy options, most of the meals you get at those places are more calories than you should have in one day.
Right, right. Now, I do at Wendy's, I have the baked potato with chili on top with nothing on the baked potato, and then just drink water. So you're getting your protein, you're getting your carbohydrates, you're getting your fiber with the skin of the baked potato. You're filled up, but you don't have that sugar drop later on.
No, right, right. And you can also get some pretty good salads at Wendy's to go along with that potato and chili. But
right.
They also, their potatoes are enough to feed a family of four.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
I bet you're only eating half of it, aren't you?
Well, if I go, I do my food plan for the day. So I prepare myself, you know, I eat a little bit every few hours. So if I'm going to have that, I've prepared, you know, I can have this. And then if I've been good and I want to indulge in the mini frosty, then I do without guilt because I've arranged my day, I've done my exercise. And even if I have it and I feel bad about it, I go, you know what? It's a day. It's something I ate.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. So don't feel guilty over it, because if I feel guilty over it, I'm going to go do something else to continue on that guilt trip for the day. So let it go.
And, you know, you make a very good point, which I also do, Dr. Melanie, and that's to plan your day. Like when I get up in the morning, or sometimes at night before I go to bed, I use a very simple free program on the internet called MyFitnessPal. And it calculates out calories and, carbohydrates, protein, fats. It does all that work for me. And all I have to do is input what my plan is for the day. And it's just a plan. You know, if something comes up, like you said, I can change it, but I know calorically where I am so far for the day. So, you know, our society may create problems for us with the fast food places and all, but at the same time, on the internet, you can find tools to help you easily figure out what it is you're doing and make a plan.
Now, some people would say you went from obsessing over eating food to now obsessing about eating the right amount of food. So how would you answer that statement?
I would, they can say that if they want, but I consider it being mindful.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I was mindless in my pursuit of the right food, and I ended up being morbidly obese. So if you want to call that obsessive or whatever, be my guest, but it's working for me. I mean, I'm talking about at night just taking 5 minutes and just kind of look at my day, say, okay, I'm planning to do this, that, or the other thing. This is what I'll probably get to eat. And making a plan. It's the same, you know, when you're going to take your children to school, you might plan the route out you're going to take, or, you know, we always have plans. So why would I not want to do something as important as plan out what I'm going to eat, especially bearing in mind that I have a propensity to overeat.
And what I do is I'm not good at depriving myself. So I keep some healthy dark chocolate in the house. If I don't have dark chocolate in the house, people know, don't be around her. It's not a pleasant thing. So I make a point, you know, it's there, but I give myself permission to have some. But if I have the wrong kind, it's going to trigger for me, there's never enough. A thousand pieces of the Blizzard at Dairy Queen, the Snickers Blizzard is my downfall. You know, it's not good that they make, you know, this small and then the medium, which used to be the small, because you think, oh, well, I can have the medium because it used to be the small. And no, I can do the small, and the small is fine, and it's okay. But it's a mind game for many of us.
It is. You know, you made a good point, too, about not wanting to feel deprived. And I had to really, I did a lot of writing on that, and that really was part of my motivation for writing that book, is because I didn't want to feel deprived. And what I came to believe is that overeating was really deprivation, because it deprived me out of so many things I wanted to do with my life. So I really had to change my thinking that I wanted abundance in my life instead of just in my mouth.
Yes. Yes. And that abundance you put in your mouth wasn't getting you the things that you wanted.
No. You know, my husband and I sat down for lunch together today, and I had some leftover lasagna for him. He had a very moderate portion of that, and I had this huge bowl of salad. I mean, it was huge. I mean, most people would put their serving of salad for a family of four in it. I had this huge salad, and I cooked myself some nice beans, and I used a low-cal dressing, and I'm very satisfied. So I do get to eat a volume, but the volume has changed. It's gone from things that you can find in bags that rattle. I like to call that rattly bag foods, like chips and pretzels and stuff like that. I don't eat that stuff. To, you know, I can eat as much lettuce and carrots and cucumbers as I want. And I like the taste of them today.
Yeah, they're alive foods.
Yes.
And it responds differently in our body as compared to all the additives and preservatives that are in the fast foods and the crinkly bags.
Right.
Now, you chose, and I have also chosen this, to give up gluten or wheat. Was that something medically that was suggested, or you just decided to do it?
Well, Kate Shepard's book suggested that wheat was addictive, and I didn't think it was, because when I was early on in my the way I was eating, I was eating some wheat, like maybe shredded wheat cereal once or twice a week, and I wasn't like jonesing over it when I didn't get it. So, but I did, I got to meet Kay Shepherd, and she suggested I try not eating wheat for a month, and I said, all right, I'll try it. And I was amazed at what happened with my body. I started, I have a tinnitus, which is a ringing in my ears, and that volume greatly subsided. And I noticed other changes in my body to where I believe I'm wheat sensitive. And now I kind of follow, I don't know if you've ever heard of Eat Right for Your Blood Type, but I'm a type
yes.
A. And
so am I.
It was kind of curious when I read that. I saw that things like wheat and sugar aren't recommended for type A blood. And so it's been out of my diet for a long time, and I don't miss it. Now, I will occasionally have other types of pasta, like made from spelt or rice and things like that, occasionally, but not very often.
That's what I do, too.
I feel better not eating wheat. Wheat makes me feel, for lack of a better word, spongy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And for me, I had to withdraw from it, from that and the intense sugar. I had blood sugar spikes and drops coming off of it. I had flu-like symptoms, cleansing out the toxins of the gluten that was stored in my body that I wasn't able to get rid of. So I had to do a body cleanse.
Wow.
And it took probably about a couple of months to really get over the effects of it.
I had a similar reaction when I stopped eating processed sugar, where I felt sick for several weeks.
Yes, and it's not worth it to me to be sick. It's just like I quit drinking 28 years ago, and if I look at somebody drinking, that is still very fresh in my mind. I don't want the effects that I had 28 years ago.
Right.
So there's no question about temptation. It's just, no thank you. So that's something I came at my own decision, and I'm glad. So you say that physical hunger comes gradually, but emotional hunger bangs hard. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, when Dave and I were planning our wedding 11 years ago, I would just finish lunch and then all of a sudden be ravenously hungry. And it that's when I really started to see that there's an emotional side to eating, that, you know, if I'm hungry, like about an hour before dinner, my stomach might start growling. But when I'm, after I've eaten a meal, if I start having some emotional hunger, it's just like, I've got to get something to eat. And it's just not real hunger. I mean, if you're, nobody's ever starved to death between lunch and dinner. So if I'm starving in between there, it's not about the food.
And for me, again, the blood sugar drops. And so I know that I have to get like a little cube of cheese or a little spoonful of peanut butter to get my blood sugar back up. And then eating small amounts helps. So, well, in the time we have left before the next break, tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you.
Oh, well, I have a website. It's lifecoachjerri, spelled GERRI.com. And I'm also on Facebook, Jerri Helms. And, you know, anybody that mentions from my, if they contact me through my website and mention that they heard me on your show, I'll just send them a book at my cost, which would be $10, which includes shipping.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's very gracious of you. Thank you for doing that.
Well, I just really want to help people, and I think that there may be some things in that book that would help somebody.
Well, it did me, so I believe it can. So I appreciate very much, Jerri, you sharing all your wisdom and personal experience with us, and thank you for being my guest today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for inviting me. I really had a good time.
Well, good. We'll get you to come back at a future date and share some more.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's go to our next break.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you living your vital life? One that is showcasing you at your full potential? There are many issues that stand in the way of most people achieving their full potential. We will discuss these issues and how to overcome them each week on The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential, with host Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. Living the vital life often requires that we trust our own intuitive voice and that we view illness or life challenges as calls to action to reconnect with the deeper urges of our spirit or soul. Tune in Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Step up to the microphone. View the finalists right now on VoiceAmericaKids.tv. America's next great star is waiting to be discovered. Step Up to the Microphone is an exclusive presentation for VoiceAmerica.tv, where you can see and hear America's next top child star. The program is hosted by Voice America's own Cassie Frazier, and new episodes will be available every week exclusively at VoiceAmericaKids.tv. You can say you saw them at the beginning of their superstar career. Tune in to VoiceAmericaKids.tv.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Jerri Helms told us how she lost 100 pounds and kept it off and wrote a book about it. She coached my next guest, Sean Anderson. He wrote a book called Transformation Road, My Trip to Over 500 Pounds and Back. He lost 275 pounds. So we're going to hear his interesting story. Welcome, Sean.
Thank you, Dr. Melanie, for having me.
Well, I'm very pleased to have you on here because it's a rare find to have somebody that A, lost it, B, kept it off, C, wrote about it, and also has a radio show. So that's a wonderful combination.
Yeah, you know, this entire process has it's been life changing on so many different levels. Sometimes it's really hard to know where to start, really. So I'll let you direct the conversation.
Okay. Well, how long of a journey has it been? How long ago did you weigh the 500 pounds?
I, you know, it was September 15th, 2008.
Wow,
that I
not
weighed
that
500.
Long.
Yeah, not that long ago. That I weighed 505 pounds. Right now, I am approaching a year and a half of maintenance. So it's, you know, I'm very young. You know, I really look up to folks like Jerry, who have, you know, nearly 20 years of maintenance behind them. And I look forward to doing that too. You know, now as the, instead of calendar regret like I used to have at my heaviest, where I look at the calendar and go, oh, you know, if I would have started back then, look where I could be now. Instead of that, I look at the calendar and go, all right, you know, I have more maintenance behind me, you know, and
yes,
it's a good feeling.
Good, good. And just your inspiring story reaches literally around the globe. So there's people out there who might be laying in their bed because they can't move because they weigh what you did and they don't have hope, and you can give them that hope.
You know, Dr. Melanie, it is truly my passion to share the things that I've discovered along this road, and reach out to people who feel like you know, they're hopeless. They feel hopeless. They feel like this is something that is going to be the death of them. And I felt those emotions too. At over 500 pounds for nearly 20 years at that weight. So it's not hopeless. It really isn't hopeless. And it doesn't have to be. And we can decide that it doesn't have to be. And that's why something I didn't realize when I started was how this would evolve, and how my writing on my weight loss blog, The Daily Diary of a Winning Loser, would evolve and eventually lead to the writing of the book and really lead to a career writing and speaking to people about weight loss. And it certainly is about spreading the message. You know, I've written before where I can't help myself. I have to share, because if I don't, I'm going to feel like, you know, I have this information, and why would I keep it to myself?
Right.
You know?
I agree. And that's why the motto for my show is, if you want to help yourself, help someone else.
Yeah. I like that.
And when we do share with other people, pain that is shared is pain that's divided.
Yeah. That's, I tell you, in my book is a very personal account. Transformation Road, the subtitle, My Trip to Over 500 Pounds and Back, it goes all the way back to 4 years old, you know. And it's a memoir from 4 years old to present day. And I took that route with this book because I wanted to dig really deep, and I wanted to analyze past attempts, and I really wanted to communicate in a way that was very clear. So by the time you get to the last part of the book, where we talk about the fundamentals, you have the insight of the past attempts and the you know, the analyzing that I do in the book along the way. You have all of that. So by the time you get to the last part of the book, it makes more sense, and it all comes together. So, you know, really, it's my passion to share, and one of the things I'm very particular about is how I communicate. And my goal is to communicate in the most easy to understand ways and terms.
So. And this is one of the ways, because so many of those people are not out in the public. They're not going to be interacting with others or going to a bookstore to get a book, because they're not physically able to do that. So you're reaching in to where they are.
Yeah, and I totally I have a lot of compassion for people, and I think you and Jerry certainly are people that have compassion for others as well, obviously. So. I understand, and although I was very lucky. I consider myself very blessed, very lucky to, yes, I was over 500 pounds for nearly 20 years, but I had enough height at 6'3" that I was still able to get around.
Okay.
As the years progressed, it became harder and harder.
Mm-hmm.
And especially right before I started losing weight, the last time, I knew that my body was deteriorating very quickly and that I had to change or else everything was going to start falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
So what
was your deciding point? What was your crisis point that you said, I'm going to do it this time?
Well, it wasn't the fear of death. You know, a lot of people think, oh, well, you were scared of dying, right? Well, no, because, and I've said this many times, it wasn't the fear of death because that's something that happens to other people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of my mindset. Oh, well, you know, yeah, I know that happens, but I'll be okay. But, yeah. I mean, it's just something that I would tell myself to kind of ease and kind of release myself of the responsibility of doing anything about it.
Yes.
The truth for me was that everything started changing. So all of a sudden I was missing so much work because of health-related, obesity-related issues. Finally, you know, my employer, the broadcasting company I work for, called me in and said, look, you can't keep missing this much work. This isn't going to work.
Mm.
You need to do something. And that was a warning. And then, you know, it started dramatically affecting my family. And when I realized that I was about to lose my family, my job, and lose everything that was important to me, all of a sudden that was more of a motivator than the idea that I would die young, which I know it doesn't seem to make sense, but I could clearly see where I was about to lose my job and my family, where I didn't believe that I would die young.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So once you made that decision, from that point to the maintenance weight, how long did it take you to get there?
2 years.
Okay.
2 months and 1 day. 26 months and a day.
All right.
And, I think I even have it down to the exact minute. But, yeah. But I realized early on, you know, and I tell people, because that is a common question, how long did it take? 26 months and a day. But really, I figured out early on that this is going to be the rest of my life.
Yes.
You know, so there really was, you know, I hit goal in November of 2010. But now, you know, the real goal for me is maintaining a healthy body weight and a healthy relationship with myself and a healthy relationship with food and exercise for the rest of my life. And so that was an approach that I'd never really considered before. But I knew that this time, if it was really going to be different, because see, Dr. Melanie, I had lost weight in the past and gained it all back plus some. I'd done that over and over and over. And I knew that this time had to be different because if it wasn't different, I was going to lose everything. I was going to lose everything. And honestly, realistically, I was going to lose my life if I didn't get it under control, whether I believed it or not at the time. So I knew that I had to look back at my past attempts. I had to analyze those and try to figure out where did I go wrong? What was I doing? How did I sabotage myself? What were those elements that would lead to the demise of so many of these past weight loss attempts? And how is this time going to be different? That's what I had to do because this was the most important thing in my life. I had to make it that important. I had to give it an importance level beyond what I had ever committed in the past.
Mm-hmm. And who can say what somebody's rock bottom point is? It might be that for you, for somebody else, it might be because, you know, somebody dies.
Right.
Somebody important to them. Or it might be that there is an emotional breakthrough, that they get a divorce or, you know, they move. And
life just cannot continue the way it is anymore.
Right. And it is different for everyone. And a lot of times when I talk about my transformation, I use the phrase, well, for me, and along my road, you know, because it is different for everyone. But I think some of the things that I know that some of the things I've stumbled on along the way, you'll find it kind of a common thread among folks, you know, like Jerry, me, other people that have lost weight and been able to keep it off and really successfully made a shift in their perspective. You'll find some very common things. And for me, it was realizing that I had to shift my perspective when it comes to food.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I really did. I had to shift my perspective and understand that the battle, and this is something that I've written about, and of course it's in the book too, I always, in every other weight loss attempt, I was fighting food and exercise. I was struggling the entire time. I made it all about the food and exercise. And in doing that, I ignored the real enemy because the food and the exercise never wanted to fight me.
Uh-huh.
Food, all it wants to do is just nourish me and provide nutrients to my body. But I always made food the villain.
Mm-hmm.
Always, you know, it was all about the food. So if I was going to start losing weight, in effect, here's what I would do in the past. I would go to bed at night and I would fully expect to wake up the next day a completely different person.
Sure.
And so the struggle wasn't necessarily with the losing weight or the food and exercise. The struggle, the main struggle for me, was constantly trying to be something I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing is when I shifted my perspective and I decided that, yes, I need a limit, so I set, I came up with a concept called the calorie bank and trust. I needed a limit, so I set that limit. And then I put my main focus on staying within that limit and understanding that my food choices would evolve naturally and gradually over time. What that enabled me to do was to be myself and to enjoy the things I like to enjoy. A lot of people are astonished when I tell them I've never had a salad. I don't like salad.
Hmm.
I've lost 275 pounds and never had a salad. Some people think that's crazy. But it's what I like and what I don't like. So
okay. How about we put that thought on hold, take a break, and come back and hear more about how you did this, okay?
No. Thank you.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
March is Social Worker Month, a time to remember social work heroes like Nobel Prize winner Jane Addams, Secretary of Labor Frances Perkins, and civil rights leaders Dorothy Height and Whitney Young. They all helped make this nation great. You can too. If you're a professional social worker, the National Association of Social Workers provides a unique network of your peers. If you're thinking about becoming a social worker, NASW resources can help you explore your options. Social work is the profession of hope. Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced cell training is a restorative, self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at advancedcelltraining.com. That's advancedcelltraining.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. We're talking with Sean Anderson, who wrote the book Transformation Road, My Trip to Over 500 Pounds and Back. He lost over 275 pounds and kept it off. So we're going to hear more of his inspiring story. So, Sean, you were saying before the break that you don't like salads and didn't eat those to get your weight loss. So what'd you do?
Well, I knew that I had to be very honest with myself and my food addiction, and admit that I was a food addict, and admit that I was an emotional compulsive eater.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to understand that for me it had to be real food in real everyday situations. You know,
okay.
I couldn't have somebody hand me a menu and say, here's the menu, eat these foods in the order and quantity that we've listed here, and you'll be fine, because that would not be me dealing with my issues with food and the issues with myself that would drive me to seek comfort in food. So I very much had to de-villainize the food and realize that food wasn't where the main battle needed to be. And so I started, I really had a nothing is off limits approach. Now I understand there are some folks who are diabetic or allergic to gluten, things like that, where special consideration needs to be made. But for me, I was very fortunate in that I wasn't dealing with those issues yet. I more than likely would have been a diabetic by now had I kept going, but I was very fortunate that I wasn't. So I was able to embrace anything and everything. That was my attitude. And the reason I did that, and in the beginning, even received a little bit of criticism for that because of some of my choices in the beginning, because my focus was stay within that calorie budget. As long as I stayed within that calorie budget, I could have pretty much anything I wanted. There was a reason for that, because it eliminated the feelings of deprivation. I wrote a blog page one time titled, What If It Were Impossible to Cheat? And that is the mindset. Once that element of deprivation was gone, and I realized that I could eat whatever I wanted as long as it was within reason, as long as it fitted in, as long as it fit into my calorie bank for the day, then all of a sudden, you know, there's no way I can go over my calorie bank. I can't overeat and exceed. I mean, I just had to be very strict with myself about that. That was a non-negotiable element. That was non-negotiable. So as long as I didn't go over and I could eat whatever I wanted, all of a sudden the desire to gorge or pig out on something was gone.
Yeah.
Because if I want a cookie, I can have a cookie within reason. If I'm at a get-together and somebody brings out the most beautiful cheesecake you ever laid eyes on, if I have the calories to enjoy maybe half a piece or something, I can do it. If not, maybe another day.
Right.
You know, if the family wants to go out for pizza, I can go out for pizza. Now, you know, I'm probably going to have thin crust, probably going to be veggie. I'm going to watch it. But as long as it fits within my calorie budget, all of a sudden there wasn't a food that I would eat that would make myself go, oh, I just blew it.
Uh-huh.
Because that's baloney. You know, I told myself that and ended so many attempts in the past, because it's like, oh, well, I had that candy bar. Boy, that's it. That's over. Or I had that slice of pizza. I guess I'll try again some other time. And gone was that dynamic. So the focus really, you know, I tell people there's an 80-20 ratio here. I put 20% of the focus on the food and exercise, very important elements. But 80% of the focus was on me. And,
yes.
And because I had to admit that I was the one, it was my responsibility. If I was going to succeed or fail, it was going to be the man in the mirror that was going to be responsible for that.
Yeah, not past or childhood or resentments.
Right,
yeah,
exactly. It was all me. And once I embraced that and realized that that I had to be responsible for my choices, I had to choose change before change chose me, because change was coming. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's a very powerful idea, and it's something I talk about and write about a lot. Choosing change before change chose me.
Yeah, you made that mental change, that mental decision, before you put the food in your mouth.
Right, right. I mean, it was a very, and that non-negotiable commitment to my calorie bank and trust, and, mm-hmm. and realizing that I was still going to have stress in my life. You know, I'd often say that if only I could get to a place where life was stress-free, I would lose weight so easily, but that was another excuse, you know.
Yes.
That was another, I would rationalize bad choices and say, well, I'm just so stressed right now. Maybe I'll lose weight another time when life is a little easier. Well, the truth is, we all have stress in one form or another. And if I was going to wait for my life to be stress-free, I would probably be dead already.
Yes,
from morbid obesity. So I had to focus on staying within my calorie bank, and I also had to focus on dealing with myself and those issues that kept me running back to food for comfort, because all of a sudden that wasn't an option. If mm-hmm. I was going to be successful this time, I had to be honest with myself and stay mm-hmm. within those bounds of my calorie bank and deal directly with the issues that always sent me to food before.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, when you decided to write your book, did you contact Jerry up front and say, I want help doing this? Or did you already know of her as a coach and she had
yeah.
helped you? How did that?
I knew of Jerry Helms. I knew of her book.
Mm-hmm.
And I had become... and she knew of my weight loss blog, and we had become Facebook friends. And I had expressed in an interview or somewhere that I had a goal of writing a book. And her being a life coach, it really happened that just a fantastic time. We came together and realized that coaching could be invaluable to me at that moment. Because I got to tell you, you know, when it comes to the things, I have a tendency to be unorganized and a procrastinator. Some might find that hard to believe, but you know, I'm just telling you the truth here. So really reaching out and inviting Jerry into my life every week to kind of, you know, keep me on point and give me a realistic perspective of what needs to be done. It really helped me get through, and it was a process. I was so naive. I thought, oh, I'll have this book written in 90 days. It ended up taking a year.
Mm. But that was a good year.
It was a great year.
Good, good. So in the minute we have left before we wrap up today's show, tell people how they can get a hold of you.
I have a website, transformationroad.com.
Okay.
My email is very easy. Sean is spelled S-E-A-N, Sean@transformationroad.com is my email address. And the book Transformation Road, My Trip to Over 500 Pounds of Back, is available anywhere books are sold or on Amazon. You can also get it directly from my website, transformationroad.com. And I always welcome communications, of course, on Facebook. I keep an open line of communication there at Facebook/SeanAnderson505.
All right. Thank you very much, Sean, for telling us your story and being a guest on my show today.
Dr. Melanie, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. So now it's time to wrap up today's show. We learned about losing weight, that it's not all about counting calories, but it's changing your thinking. To reach Jerry Helms, go to lifecoachjerry, that's GERRI.com. To reach Sean, go to transformationroad.com.
And next week, we're going to hear about a program called educationalliance.org with a woman named Della, who will tell us about the work she does with women in Kenya, helping them to be empowered. So I hope today you learned something and that you will take this show when it's archived and share it with somebody that needs to have some hope about losing weight. Remember, to help yourself, help someone else. Until next week, goodbye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.